all owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Buehler Garcia. If you are like me, you're looking back on the year 2020 with a mixture of amazement, a lot of disappointment and disgust, and a healthy dose of gratitude. I try not to set my bar too low. The phrase, well, at least I'm not that guy, is probably not a line that motivational speakers teach too often, but looking back on 2020, it seems appropriate. Barely getting through unscathed is not the ideal goal, but it sure beats the alternative. I am fortunate that my family enters 2021 in that category. I have friends who are not so lucky. Yep, every day of the last 6 months for me has been like what I would imagine being a 99-year-old, just grateful I woke up this morning and thanking God for another day. As we collectively kick 2020 out the back door with the Motley Crue lyrics, "Don't go away, mad, just go away," it seemed a good time for a retrospective summary on 2020 with one of my favorite guests, the editor of my go-to website for all things military and veterans, Scott Faith of the Havoc Journal. Scott, welcome back to American Warrior Radio.
Ben, thank you so much, and happy 2021.
And we're right into it, brother. I tell you what, folks, you visit havocjournal.com. You're going to be inspired by what we hear today, and you'll want to learn more. Now, just typical, even though it's New Year, Scott, got to do the disclaimer. New listeners need to know because of your day job as a member of our active duty military, Scott Faith is not your real name. Enough said.
Absolutely right, Ben. I'm coming to you from a place that's much colder than the last time I was on your show. So glad to be back and looking forward to the discussion today.
But the surfing's better. Wait, no.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it is better to be back and looking forward to a better year for the country and for everybody than we had in 2020.
Scott, I'm reading this great new book by a Navy SEAL, a former Navy SEAL commander. I hope to have him on the show pretty soon. And he talks a lot about, you know, it's one of those kind of lessons learned in the SEALs that can apply to real life or civilian life. And he talks a lot about we all make mistakes, and particularly in the special teams, we're trained to fail, and, you know, by design so that we can recover and learn from it. I'm hoping that looking back at 2020, we'll learn some things. So that's why I want to touch on it this year while still being optimistic like you are about 2021. So let's start off with you did a poll of your writers there at havocjournal.com, and you came up with 10 resolutions. And I really want to introduce that article because your opening line, Scott, was fabulous. It goes, "Veterans, the old year is done and a new year is beginning. Perhaps more than some others, we as vets know yesterday is done. Today is a gift, and there's no guarantee of tomorrow. The coming year is yours. What will you do with it?"
Absolutely. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us, and that's the way I try to live my life. I know that what happened in the past, good or bad, is over. And what I've got right now, just like you were mentioning earlier, waking up every day and having a healthy and happy family and a good life, that's a gift. Our country is a gift. Our way of life is a gift. And there's no guarantee that we're going to get any of that tomorrow. So my question to your audience, Ben, and my challenge to my fellow vets is, what are you going to do with the coming year, and how are you going to make it better for your country, for your family, and for yourself?
And like I said in my intro, Scott, I don't want to have a low bar saying, well, at least 2021 can't be as bad as 2020. One, I don't want to jinx things. But also there is opportunity here, and your of your top 10 resolutions that came from your writers, Scott, your authors there on havocjournal.com, number one is really my favorite because it's all about what we do at American Warrior Radio, and the resolution is, "I will tell my story."
That's right. So many vets, especially female vets, I found are reluctant to talk about their experiences in the military, either because they're traumatic, which I get, or more likely, they just don't think that what they did measured up, because a lot of people outside the service have this glorified vision of what it means to be a veteran. And a vet will think, well, I'm not that, so people aren't going to be interested in our story. And what we've experienced in Havoc Journal, and Ben, you've been a great partner to us for so many years on that, is there is a market for that. People care. And I'm not talking vets. I'm talking average citizen. They care. They want to know. And more than that, I think we have a responsibility as veterans to share our experience in what's been the longest period of warfare in our entire country's history. So, yeah, that's something I enjoy doing personally. It's something a lot of my vets do. You've contributed articles to the Havoc Journal over the years, which have been great. And I suggest that anyone who's interested, any veteran out there, to send us what your thoughts are and let us try to share that with the world.
You know, Scott, that makes me think I've had, I've had several guests on talking about stolen valor. And one of the issues that comes up so often, it's not that someone didn't serve, didn't wear the uniform. They just felt guilty or they didn't win a Medal of Honor. Therefore, I've got to build up my resume, when what they did was plenty. And
absolutely.
So now the next several I really like. Well, number two, I will not act as if the world owes me something. From a civilian perspective, Scott, that seems very interesting, but is there sort of some stress amongst veterans? The folks are saying, I serve, therefore I should get the 10% discount on Veterans Day, and others just say, no, it was my job?
It's a little frustrating, and you brought up a great example. So for a long time in my career, I was reluctant to take advantage of the goodwill that America was offering. I remember the first time that someone told me thank you for your service, I think it was 2003. I was in a Wendy's in Sierra Vista, Arizona, and I was in uniform. I was eating lunch with one of my colleagues. We were in class, and someone came up to me and thanked me for my service. I had no idea what to say. I'm a lot more comfortable with it now because I feel like I've accomplished something. But a lot of vets don't want to take advantage of these offers and things, and I think they should. If someone is willing to express support for you, you should accept it in the spirit in which it's given. What you shouldn't do, in my opinion, is expect special treatment just because you're a vet. This is a service profession. We serve the nation. We serve our fellow citizens, and we shouldn't expect them to serve us back. So if someone wants to give me 10% on something, fine, I'll take it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the support, but I don't go looking for it. I don't ask for it. I don't get mad when it happens. So that's on the small end, but on the high end, you hear people trotting out the military service to try to get them out of crimes, things that would have been a crime in the military as well. And that's where vets, I think, get really upset. It's like, hey, just because you're a vet doesn't mean you can do X, because we have standards in the veteran community also, and you're not meeting them.
Scott, we're going to talk a little bit more about, follow up on this theme that is going to be running through the show today. And one of those issues is really kind of the idea of the extent to which our nation is stressed, is being pulled at the seams right now, and the divisiveness. And on this point number two, if you're a veteran and you don't feel you earned it and you don't want to accept the discount or whatever it might be, great, good on you. It's America. But don't beef at other veterans who choose to do so.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And if someone wants to express support for you, no matter what your profession is, I think you should accept it, because just like tomorrow, that support's not guaranteed. And you and I have been around long enough, Ben, that we remember what it was like for certain vets in wars past. Mm-hmm. So that could flip back. So if someone wants to support us now, I think we as vets should support that and accept it.
Scott, we're coming up on the first break, but I want to touch on the next three resolutions all to me seem interlinked. I will help my federal veterans when and where and as much as I can. Number four, I will ask for help when I need it. And number five, I'll check in with my buddies' Gold Star families. Do you think it's not coincidental that those were ranked in the top five from among your authors, your veteran authors?
Absolutely. I think that's not a coincidence at all. And you know several of our authors, Ben, and you've had a number of them on your show. And I think all of those are tightly related, and I look forward to talking about them at length after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're New Year's show 2021. We're introducing with one of our favorite guests, Scott Faith. He's the editor of the Havoc Journal. You can visit them, havocjournalwithak.com. We come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about a beef I do have with one of Scott's authors. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Scott Faith. Scott is the editor of the Havoc Journal. You can read more, havocjournal.com. That's H-A-V-O-K. It's my regular go-to place for all things veteran and military. And as a civilian, I find it particularly insightful, and I hope you'll check it out as well. There's a lot to be learned there. Scott, we started off by talking about your article on the 10 New Year's resolutions for veterans. We got halfway through the list. The second half of the list, number six, I'll remain engaged with my fellow citizens and set an example of responsible leadership. That seems particularly timely right now in what the place our nation finds itself.
Absolutely right. And when I originally wrote this article, I think it was back in 2015, I was thinking more along the lines of the way that veterans tend to fence themselves off from the rest of the population. I think that's unhealthy and unhelpful, both for the country and for the veteran community. So I've seen people wearing shirts that say dangerous veterans, stay back 50 feet or stuff like that. And I get it's done in humor, but I think the overall message is detrimental and bad to our country. And in terms of engagement, vets have a lot to offer the country, and the country has a lot to offer veterans. We need each other, so we need to be out there doing it. And like you said, right now with the situation in our country, I think veterans are in a good place to be able to help. If we channel some of that energy and some of that angst in a positive direction, we can help the country get through that, and we can benefit ourselves as a community as well.
And that really sort of feeds into number seven. I'll always be proud of who I am, what I've done, and those who stood beside me. As you alluded to earlier in the conversation, certainly it's not the way it was when our service members came back from Vietnam. It's a much better place, but nonetheless, folks shouldn't. Yeah, I had a great author on last week, Scott, who was talking about, it's called Why Last Stands, about why men fight to the last man. And one of the comments he made was about the idea of, General Grant was, unconditional surrender Grant was the kind of reputation he earned. And we talked a little bit about, when's the last time we actually fought a war to win it? And he said, Ben, the proper question is, when's the last time the civilian leadership sent our troops off to fight a war to actually win it? It's, that's not the military's responsibility. It's the civilian's responsibility. But nonetheless, if you served, you earned that honor.
That's right. That was Mike Walsh, right, with Last Stands?
Correct.
In your last episode. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read that one yet. It seems fascinating, and I'm going to definitely check it out. He sounded really good on the podcast. So, yeah, at the end of the day, we do what we do for the country. We do it for our family, but we also do it for the man or woman standing to our right and left when we're out there doing this job. And I think that's something to be proud of. I think what we do is special. I don't think that what we do makes us better than anybody else, but I'm proud of what I did in the military and the small role that I had in helping make our country and our military what it is today. And I think everyone should be proud to do that. And I'm never going to let anybody let me feel not proud of what I did. And at the same time, I'm never going to try to blow it up to be something bigger than it actually was. So that was one of the things I was trying to convey with that point.
Scott, number eight, I will write the next chapter in our nation's history. Interesting comment. Could you expound on that a little bit for our listeners?
Totally, Ben. I'm glad you asked. And that one ties in closely to number nine, and I'll tie both those together. So for those in your audience who haven't read it yet, number eight is I will help write the next chapter of nation's history. Number nine is I will find my second mission and help veterans find theirs. So I added 9 and 10, and we can talk about why I did that here in a minute if you like. But in terms of the question you just asked me about number eight, I think veterans have a responsibility to contribute to the next chapter of the nation's history. Chapters have been written about our wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and now we got Syria and a lot of other conflict zones that people don't know about. And I think veterans are in a unique position based on our values and our knowledge and experiences in our network to help the nation become better and move on from here. And I think one way to do that is by vets helping each other find their second mission. So their first mission was military service, of course. And when vets get out, I feel like we need something to keep us going. If you don't have something, a second mission to put your energy into, then your life's going to, you'll be depressed. You're going to gain weight. You're going to be unhealthy. Your life's going to fall apart. So I think if we find a second mission, whether that's entrepreneurship or politics or activism or writing or whatever, I think those two things, writing our nation's history and finding a second mission, will be very helpful to individual vets, the veteran community at large, and the nation.
And lastly, I will help our nation heal, number 10. I don't think that requires a lot of explanation. All of us can play a role there.
Absolutely. And I think every American can have a spot in that one, Ben.
Scott, English is not my first language, so sometimes it takes me a while to process and catch up. Did I hear you say that you wrote this article back in 2015 and you're recycling it now, brother? What do you need me to give you some more articles, or what's going on over there at Havoc Journal?
Well, this one is so popular and it changes every year. And I think every year there's a new generation of veterans that needs to hear this. So we're gonna keep reposting it, and we might add some more to it next year, might take some off.
Fair enough, but let me put on my whiny hat for a second. Okay. You're most popular, most commented on, your article in 2020 that created the most numbers of kerfuffles was called We Are Useful Idiots by Dr. Alice Atalanta. I've had Alice on. She's clearly a very, very bright woman, a strong advocate for the military. But let's be honest, that article was just a ripoff of that outstanding Weaponizing the Influencers article, wasn't it, Scott?
I don't know if I would characterize it as that, but those were two very, very good articles. And as you said, Dr. Alice, she is so smart and so hardworking. I am a little disappointed in myself that she kicked my butt in terms of best article of the year this year, because I think almost every time it's me. But she is a hell of a writer and just a great all-around person. And the other article you mentioned was pretty good too, Ben.
Yeah, and I'm the only one that read it, but that's okay. It's interesting because she is very smart, and I will take a little bit of credit. I mean, she basically took a little idea maybe and did a much better job writing on it. Scott, when you say best, or how do you gauge it? I mean, you get hundreds of thousands of visitors a month to your website, don't you?
Yep.
So how did she get that ranking? Most number of comments, most number of clicks, just overall good stuff? What's the science behind that?
We use Google Analytics, and it's simple math. How many times was this article opened and read? And hers was the best one of 2020.
Well, and I'll give folks an example of why she, in the article, and you know, you have to visit havocjournal.com to read it, look up We Are the Useful Idiots. She quotes Chris Costa, who's got 34 years as an intelligence officer. This guy knows what he's doing. And he says, our greatest vulnerability is that we have a polarized nation right now. There are basically two camps, and that's a vulnerability. Our adversaries who really want to do harm to our democratic way of life now take advantage of this polarization with a new tool they didn't have during the Cold War, social media and the internet. That's what makes the situation so dire right now.
That's absolutely right. And I'm pretty sure I served with Chris in Iraq, although I'm not 100% on that. But what he said, in my opinion, in several quotes that she made from him in that article, 100% accurate. And I think people just by nature have a tendency to believe what they want to believe. And then when there's so much information out there that reinforces what they want to believe, whether it's true or not, confirmation bias kicks in. And we saw with the allegations of the Russia collaboration hoax and so many other ones that affect both sides of the political divide in our country, that it's just creating more and more division and stronger polarization. It's harder and harder to have a decent conversation about politics in this country.
But I tell you, Scott, I'm not as smart as you or Chris or Alice, but it's almost like playing chess in 3D. If I wanted to create something that was a real threat, I create it. Then by my own accord, I propagandize it as a hoax so people don't pay attention, and that in itself is a hoax. And then it's real. I mean, how deep does down the rabbit hole does this go? But the practical reality is it has become a weapon, a tool.
Yes.
And spreading disinformation like wildfire. It makes me think of those, you know, those Japanese balloon firebombs that they sailed across the Pacific hoping to start California on fire during the Second World War. But this is real and it's happening.
That's a great analogy, because that's exactly what it is. You're dropping incendiaries into what is a very tightly packed tinderbox of emotions in our country. And the worst part about it to me, Ben, is some of these things are pretty conspicuously untrue, or just would require a lot of substantiation for me to believe them. And a lot of people just blindly accept whatever they're told, without applying critical thought to it because it's what they want to believe. And that's bad. It's not just America. That's people in general. And certainly I've had my share of that as well. But it's very concerning to me in this environment where people are buying up guns and ammo. They're riding in the streets. Everyone's tense. People are not wanting to talk to each other. And it's concerning to me for the future of our country.
And I tell you, I am the first guy to admit that when I see that headline when I'm at the grocery checkout that says that, you know, Bigfoot was discovered and he's living with Elvis, I want to believe it. You know, I want to pick it up and read it, but I also am smart enough to know that that's not going to happen. And when we come back, I want to talk a few about some of the suggestions that Dr. Atalanta has in her article, We Are the Useful Idiots, that folks need to pay attention to and incorporate into their daily lives, especially nowadays. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia, talking with Scott Faith of the Havoc Journal. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a good time ushering in 2021 and kicking 2020 to the curb with Scott Faith, the editor of the Havoc Journal, my favorite go-to website for all things veteran and military. You can visit them at havocjournal.com, Havoc, H-A-V-O-K. Scott, we're talking about Dr. Alice Atalanta's article, We're the Useful Idiots, which was the number one ranked article all last year at the Havoc Journal. And, you know, this is not like my blog where if I get three people to visit, I'm excited. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of clicks and visits and readers. And I'm working on it, Scott. That's one of my goals for 2021. But, you know, we chuckle about it, but really, well, for example, you know, I think not people in your branch of the service, certainly, but some other branches might like to make fun of the new Space Force and their crest. But really, it's our job, it's our military's job to know what the wars of the future and the weapons of the future are going to be. I had the general who was tasked with setting up the very first Cyber Command. And he told me, Scott, he says, you know, when I started learning about this, I mean, every morning I would wake up with a chill down my spine just because of the nature of this new threat. And this is years ago, of course. And really, when we talk about future wars and conflicts, this is sort of the heart of Dr. Alice Atalanta's article about this, the divisiveness that can be sown through propaganda and misinformation. And we are all guilty of it. We are the useful idiots that are spreading this stuff that's causing the division.
That's absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons this thing was such a powerful article, Ben. It resonated with so many people across the country and outside the country. And referring to them as useful idiots is something that goes back to the early 1980s when a KGB defector used it in a interview that is still very popular today to describe the disgruntled people, not just in the U.S., but anywhere that a foreign power can tap into, make them amplify their grievances and get them to take action, only to take power away from them and dispose of them when they're no longer useful to us. And I think what was very telling about Dr. Alice's article is she made it clear that this is something that happens to everyone. And she gave an example of when she was guilty of an incident or two as well. And what I think is particularly useful in this article is the ways that she explains, hey, you can avoid it by doing these things. And I think if we do the, I don't know, seven or eight things I think that she suggested, those will go a long way to help us get to back to the kind of country we want to have and minimize that negative foreign influence.
You know, Scott, it's almost like this is a cyber COVID. It's maybe a timely reference to, you know, folks could be spreading it whether they intend to or not, and we all need to cyber mask up and be more careful about that. To me, you know, we've gone from trust but verify to maybe distrust and verify should be the de facto position. And it's I don't know if for you, but for me, it's definitely ironic that the phrase trust but verify comes from an old Russian proverb. Coincidence? Maybe not. We'll see if Bigfoot is living with Elvis. But really, I mean, she has some great solutions. One is to become your own intel analyst. You know, as my mom used to say, consider the source before you click and share. And with all the power and information at our fingertips, it can be confusing. There's a lot of smoke screens out there, but we all have the opportunity to check several sources and make up our own minds.
We do. Unfortunately, very few people do that. And even those who do have multiple sources of input tend to be, in my opinion, what we call in the intel community circular reporting. So it's the same news story that's repackaged a whole bunch of different ways because people are afraid to get out of the comfort zone information silo and go see what, for lack of a better term, as I'll describe, the other side is saying. Because somewhere between the two extremes on a position may be the truth. One of the two of them extremes might be the actual truth, but normally it's somewhere in the middle. But too many people think that they're informed when they're not, and that's even worse. Sometimes if you know you're not very well informed, then you're less likely to take action or harden your beliefs. But if you think you're informed and you're not, that's a very dangerous position to be in.
Yeah, Scott, I will. We may agree or we may not, and I'm getting crusty and cranky in my old age. But to me, it's because we as a nation also become extremely lazy, and we look for the easiest way out. And, for example, you know, we think instead of going out and feeding a hungry person, we think we've done enough to just post a hashtag on our Facebook page instead of going down and working at the food bank. Come on. And do you think that it's because also we as Americans have a tendency to always want to be or appear to be the smartest person in the room?
I think that is part of it for some people. I think sometimes it's a genuine desire to do well and think of themselves as good people. Unfortunately, that tends to be intellectually lazy because if you're going to be a true good person, if they're going to be informed, that's going to involve some things that you're not going to be comfortable with, and it might involve some cognitive dissonance, which a lot of people just makes them angry. So if you expose people to ideas that they're not ready for, if you try to get them to engage in behavior they're not ready for, you're going to get a lot of resistance and a lot of resentment. And I think a lot of Americans are there right now that they see, I think they know in their hearts that whatever is wrong, but they're not willing to do anything about it because it benefits them or because they're worried about the consequences of standing up to it.
Do you think part of the reason that we're so vulnerable when it comes to this is not just our own laziness, we've gotten soft, but also it seems like there's been a trend to teach people what to think rather than how to think?
Absolutely. And when I'm having this conversation with you right now, Ben, it reminds me of a different one I had with a young Yale graduate who's standing up this thing called the American Exchange Project, which is basically a foreign exchange project inside the country. And the reason I'm bringing this up in this conversation right now is I think we've become so polarized inside the United States. A lot of the things that were genuine melting pot opportunities like college, like our jobs, don't exist anymore. At colleges, students are self-segregating at an alarming rate, and not many people join the military, which in my opinion is one of the few genuine melting pot opportunities out there. So a lot of Americans will grow up and spend their entire lives not really understanding their own country. So I think anything that we can do to help that along would go a long way to help reducing tensions in our country and towards reducing this lack of information that many Americans seem to be suffering from right now.
You know, the thing I love about Dr. Atalanta's article, We Are the Useful Idiots, there on Havoc Journal, is she does offer these solutions. I thought one of the best is she calls it Put Out the Flame Wars. And I learned early on in my social media experiences, Scott, that having political discourse on Facebook is about maybe the biggest waste of time you could ever engage in. And she emphasized that. She says, you know, save political discourse for respectful interactions in person with people who have earned your respect and might even know what they're talking about.
That's right. And it's so easy to do. And I've done that before when I was younger. I used to enjoy it. But now I see how unproductive it is and what a waste of time it is. And the way that I try to govern is I'm willing to engage in thoughtful disagreement with people on the internet. Sometimes I get snarky, but I try to never get rude because what I'm going for in those discussions, it's not necessarily the person on the ideological extreme of whatever I'm arguing. Those people aren't reachable. Those are the irreconcilables. But what you're going for is the malleable middle of the people who probably don't want to get engaged in that conversation, but are listening to it. And if you're on the side where you're just spewing hate and not being productive, that's going to be a net negative over time. So when I'm arguing, I try to keep it professional. I try to keep it well-informed. I try to keep it small enough where people actually read it before it gets to be too long, didn't read territory. And I found that that generally works better over time at getting people to come over to your side.
You know, one lesson I can share, Scott, is because of my day job, I interact a lot with politics and folks running for office. And it makes me grit my teeth when people feel like they have to respond. Doing nothing is an option. And especially with the trolls out there, you know, they're just gigging you. They're waiting for you to make a mistake. Let it go. Just ignore
right.
it.
Right.
You know, that's okay. It's okay to have a Facebook page where you haven't posted something in a while. Unless you're the Havoc Journal or American Warrior Radio. In that case, Google will hate you for doing that. Again, I encourage folks to visit havocjournal.com. Look for Dr. Alice Atalanta's article. It's called We're the Useful Idiots. Very, very insightful. While you're there, take a peek at another article called Weaponizing the Influencers, but you don't have to.
I think they should absolutely look at that one, too.
I'll admit when I'm not as sharp as Dr. Atalanta. Scott, when we come back, I'd like to talk about probably the biggest vetrepreneur kerfuffle since Scott Faith was appointed editor of the Havoc Journal. Ripples all across the entrepreneurial arena.
Looking forward to that discussion, Ben.
All right. Stick around, folks. This is your host, Ben Bula Garcia. We're talking with Scott Faith, the editor of Havoc Journal. We're going to talk about Black Rifle Coffee when we come back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a retrospective. I don't know if that's even the right word, Scott, but we're having a talk looking back at 2020 with Scott Faith, the editor of the Havoc Journal, my favorite place to go for all things veteran and military. Scott, before the break, I was teasing about a big kerfuffle, and this is one of those things where you're talking about you don't have to always respond and don't get an argument on social media. And holy cow, Black Rifle Coffee, founded in 2014 by Green Beret Evan Hafer. I'm pronouncing that right. Hafer, Hafer. If I don't pronounce it right, they'll never come on the show. It's an online coffee subscription service, $80 million in revenue in 2019, over 1 million followers on social media. Now, their entire brand is based on support for veterans, law enforcement, first responders. They don't shy away from controversy, particularly when it comes to their social media videos. A former Army Ranger, Matt Best, produces some entertaining, let's just say, social media videos to promote their product. And I guess if you're the big dog, you're bound to take some hits, huh? And that happened to Black Rifle Coffee this past year.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. So I'm a fan of Black Rifle Coffee Company. I got some of their coffee in my pantry right now that someone sent me for Christmas. And our founder, Marty Scoveland, is the editor of BRCC's Coffee.com magazine right now, technically a competitor of ours, but consider them friends. I've never met Evan Hafer. He wouldn't know me on the street if he saw me. I doubt he's ever heard my name. But I think most of the veteran community knows Black Rifle Coffee Company, and they know what they do. Matt Best, as you mentioned, makes a lot of pretty silly but also message-filled videos. I've never met him either. I think they do a lot of good for the community, but the kerfuffle that, as you described it, involved the time when Kyle Rittenhouse, who your listeners might remember as the individual who was involved in the shootings and the riots in Kenosha, there was a picture of him wearing a Black Rifle shirt, and then someone posted an affiliate link beneath it. And Black Rifle Coffee Company went on and said, "Hey, we don't want to profit from strategy." From this tragedy, not strategy. And, we take that link down. So they did. And then that somehow got turned into Black Rifle Coffee doesn't support the Second Amendment, which is ridiculous. It's right there in their name. And anyone who watches their video who understands their politics knows that's not the case. But then if I remember correctly, because I thought this was such a stupid controversy, I hardly followed it. I guess it came out eventually that Evan Hafer allegedly donated some money to the Obama campaign, which really set people off. And I think the explanation for that one, I think what happened was Evan, when he was contracting for the CIA overseas, lost a bet. And part of the bet involved him having to make that donation. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if Evan said that or not, but that's what I heard. I think that's totally in keeping with what I know about his personality. So to me, this is just another example of vet-on-vet internet violence that just didn't need to happen. I thought the whole thing was pretty silly, Ben.
Well, and the article is a great. Kevin Wilson, who's one of your regular contributors, he wrote an article that was published on November 25th. And I will tell you, Kevin, he likes a little bit of that salty language, so I can't quote the article, but it's effective, you know? So a lot of the heart of the article, and when I hear you talking about, you know, veteran on veteran, I mean, you think of all people who would support someone's First Amendment right to write a check to whomever they like, or to drink whoever's coffee they like, or to buy guns, shoot guns, don't, whatever, you know, buy a gun and have it cut to pieces. I think somebody did that once upon a time, too, if you want
right.
to. But this, I found this fascinating because he talks to the fact that a lot of the people in the civilian world think that the veteran community is this monolithic, all think the same, all dress the same, all talk the same, all believe the same things in the community. It's not like that. And Kevin says, some of the most dangerous people I know, people I served with in actual war zones, were responsible for putting more bodies on the ground than any thousand neck-bearded tactical LARPers who would have joined except they'd have totally punched a drill sergeant in the face, voted Democrat this last election. I know people who gave decades of their lives, their ability to recognize their loved ones' faces, and their ability to walk across the street without a piece of metal and plastic strapped to where their leg used to be, who voted blue. They are very bit as much a part of the veteran community as I am, as any of us, and I'll be damned if I let a bunch of wannabe Gravy SEALs try to insinuate otherwise. That's some beautiful prose, brother.
It absolutely is, and you should have read that article before we edited it out, because like you said, Kev's a pretty salty guy, and that's one of the many things we love about him is his ability to put it into language that our readers are really going to respond to. And you're absolutely right. So many vets do vote blue. I don't, but I respect everyone else who does. I think it's good to have disagreement in a community that's as large as ours is. People don't realize how big the veteran community is. They're, in terms of our population, we're a small part of it, but there are a lot of us out there. And I don't think people are on Evan Hafer for being a closet Democrat or whatever. Like I said, I don't really understand why they're so upset. I don't think he is. I think he is what he represents himself to be, which is a pretty conservative guy. But even if he wasn't, I don't care.
Right.
I don't care. I don't care as a fellow veteran. Vote from whoever you like to. Have whatever political views you want. But I think it's a silly thing to go after veterans who are role models for our community, or who, instead of being dysfunctional, are highly functional veterans because of something you don't even understand without giving the guy a chance to explain it. It goes back to what we were talking before about low information consumers of information. Who is like, oh, look at this. He betrayed us in our community. Really? Do you want to find out about that first from this guy who you've loved and supported and bought his products and watched his videos for years? How about you investigate a little bit before you start bringing out the pitchforks and torches?
Absolutely. You know, this touches a little bit on Dr. Atalanta's article, too, is that the prevalence of 100%-ism, either, you know, you're 100% with me or you're 100% against me. You know, when it comes time to voting, you and I might have the same political affiliation, the same concepts, but you know what? Vote for the best candidate. I don't care what their party is or if they're a Martian. If they're the right person, well, a legally immigrated Martian, but you know, if they're the right person, that's who you need to choose to lead your community or your school board or our nation. And that's part of, well, don't, it's a whole different conversation there, Scott. Now, you've got young kids, so give me a little help here. A LARPer, what is a LARPer? Is that
live action role playing? It's like Dungeons and Dragons for grown ups. So they dress up in these costumes and they go cast spells at each other or whatever.
That's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And actually, you know, if I had more time on my hands, I might get into that, because some of those competitions get pretty intense. Some of the LARPers will put on like real armor and go at it with dulled weapons, but nonetheless real live weapons. And some of them pretend to throw fireballs at each other. So it's a big wide area of how involved people want to be. But the reason Kevin mentioned in the article is, of course, these guys get made fun of a lot.
Well, and so it's not a loving reference. So I think I get it now. Once upon a time, I was involved in a little paintball competition, and this guy kept insisting that, you know, where I hit him didn't count, so I shot him again. That doesn't count. I shot him again. No, it's a timeout. You can't shoot me. So finally, I'm not saying I did this, but someone might be inclined to shoot them in the more sensitive bits. So that's a LARPer.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. That's a good example.
Okay, fair enough. Well, one other word I love from Kevin's article, he says, if you want to get something done in Washington, buy a politicritter. A new word, but kind of interesting. And that's something else folks need to understand. I mean, I've worked in the political world for a long time, and frankly, that's how the sausage is made. I've got plenty of people that write checks to both sides of the aisle. Kevin, we're running out of time here, about 3 minutes. What are the commonalities you see throughout these articles, other than, you know, you've got to earn my respect and don't be such a knucklehead?
Right. I think people can go a long way in life without being a knucklehead. But the one thing that I want to emphasize is that everything that you and I talked about, it's all part of the veteran community, which we define as the wide swath of people who are vets or family members of vets or people that just like to help vets, which people like you and Dr. Alice definitely fall into. So Alice is not a vet, but we value her perspective on things, and she talks about things that vets need to care about. So I think that's one of the commonalities. And the other commonality, I think, is growth. And what are we going to do in this next year? I think most people say 2020 was a pretty crappy year for them. It certainly was for me. I am not where I wanted to be because of the way the world is right now. But what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to make 2021 better for myself, my family, my nation than it was in last year. And the last one is just make yourself better informed. There's so many people making bad decisions based on limited information that they don't have to. And sometimes you got to make decisions quickly with limited information, and sometimes you don't. And I wish more people would take time to make better decisions, like we were talking about with this Black Rifle Coffee Company kerfuffle. I think most situations aren't what you think they are.
Well, I'll tell you, the best decision Black Rifle Coffee Company could make right now would be to come on American Warrior Radio. Maybe.
I'll pass that word on to
you. You send that carrier pigeon out with that article. And by the way, another article for your reading list, Scott, Never Enough by Navy SEAL Commander Mike Hayes. I just got the book. I'm hoping to have him on the show. And wonderful, wonderful read. Real quick, about 15, 20 seconds. Any updates on the Second Mission Foundation?
Yes, thank you for asking. So we're getting close to publishing our first book, which was actually written by Aaron Kirk, a guy that you recommended to us. So I appreciate that. Really looking forward in the next year to getting Second Mission going to help the veterans of the military, first responder, and security contractors who work for the government find their second mission after service. And I look forward to talking to you some more about that and maybe getting some of the people affiliated with Second Mission on your show down the road, Ben.
Scott, thank you so much. Folks, visit havocjournal.com to learn more. You can find this podcast at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Please share it as much as possible. Here's hoping for a good 2021. Take care.
American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.